Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Kaf Dalas B'Nisan, Tashin Ayin Hey, Parshas Tazria Metzora, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 12 April 2015, webcasting from the source, homeland of the God who moves history. Well, just before Pesach started, 10 days ago, the President of the United States said the United States had reached an historic understanding with Iran, a deal that meets our objectives, and Iran has also met all its obligations, he said. But since then, men whose opinions I respect have all basically exposed these remarks as baseless. What Iran says happened in Lausanne is not what Obama says, not by a country mile. Two different versions of reality. I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, we are witness to another instance of the mind of Barack Hussein Obama, who told us the Fort Hood massacre had nothing to do with Islam, and if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And to yours truly, not only do I find his behavior virtually clinical, I despair of a Congress impotent before the truth that this man must be removed from office as expeditiously as possible. This smells like another Benghazi when unhappy with that outcome, Obama and Hillary Clinton concocted a ridiculous and dishonest story of a video in California. There is video of Hillary also solemnly telling the relatives of the four dead American security men that she was going to get that guy in California who made that offensive video. In other words, Obama is at it again, as he was with Hillary then, telling stories that are not true. A couple of years ago, I heard what sounded like a credible interview on the net, a radio program, with a woman who said she knew Obama as a teenager in Hawaii, and he was always telling stories that were untrue. This man must be removed from office. More than once he has spoken of Islam being a part of America from the beginning. That was not true. He said Muslims served in the armed forces in American history. They won Nobel Prizes, he said. Not true. Notice, too, how, like a true Hamite hungry for what belongs to others, he invents a fictitious right to the coveted object. There he was claiming for Islam a share in American history that it is not entitled to. So every analyst I read over the last 10 days all took note of the chasm between what Iran is saying and what Obama is saying about what did or did not happen in Lausanne. You know, he and Hillary Clinton deserve each other for their mutual ability to break rules that govern others. And when in office, for both of them, all that matters is one's political career. There is no fidelity to the community of Americans at large. And today, Hillary was to announce her run for the White House, second one. Has this woman no shame? In her first campaign, she swaggered that she was the one the country wanted to be answering the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, it didn't come, that phone call, at that hour, but it did come from Benghazi one evening with the bad news of the situation there, and Hillary's behavior as Secretary of State in that episode must disqualify her as having the right stuff to be Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces. And what else is it in her career that leads her to believe she is fit for the job? What has she ever done? What has she ever said? I cannot believe, but it's true, that the United States of America, with its 300 million plus people, well, all the people now can come up as a national leader with one of the two great parties is Hillary Clinton. This proven nobody, this incompetent, this liar, this violator of regulations regarding emails. There's something radically rotten in a society that throws up as a leader Hillary Clinton, who wanted to make it in a man's world. Anyway, this alleged Iran deal of 10 days ago that Obama was proudly announcing seems to be yet another in the history of his Muslim-like behavior in which there is no fidelity to truth. One can say whatever one wants in order to defend oneself and achieve one's objective, to satisfy one's appetite. Seen from another angle, though, Obama's behavior defines him as a mortal enemy of Israel and the West, which includes the U.S., the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and what he's leading up to is an Iran with an atomic bomb. This fool even tripped himself up the other day in admitting that after 10 years of his historic agreement, Iran will have the bomb. This man must be stopped. There is a way, but unfortunately not one congressman wants to lead the charge. But there is cause for optimism in Senator Chuck Schumer's choosing to favor legislation binding this man. In my time in New York last month, I got a sense that even from the liberals, they are no longer making excuses for him. Obama is saying this framework will lead to an historic agreement, and the Iranians, no less the French, are not saying that at all. Obama said the chemical weapons used in Syria, remember, a few years ago, were a red line for him, but when Assad crossed the red line, Obama looked away. He has repeatedly said he will not allow Iran to have the bomb. But everything does lead to that very eventuality. Which is it? His words or the results of his behavior? Columnist Thomas Sowell said Obama's big achievement, in his own eyes, was preventing Israel from striking Iran when he threatened to shoot down Israeli planes. No doubt, as I pointed out in a recent American thinker piece, this man slapped the American Jewish community in the face within 10 minutes of taking the oath of office, and then went on to insult Israel's democratically elected leader numerous times, and thus insult the Israeli electorate as a whole. The next day after his inaugural speech, he calls up Abu Mazen, first call. And so we can make the case that from the get-go, this man has had Israel on the brain. It's up there in the forefront of his frontal lobe, I fear. One must ask how a man of seeming average intelligence, like him, can see the positive result of sanctions imposed on Iran that brought them to the table, and then reverse himself and choose to lift these sanctions before Iran has complied with American demands. His behavior makes no sense. Obama, the chronic liar, ran for office as a hardliner on Iran and its nuclear ambitions, and now it appears that was a lie, too. He said what he thought was politically advantageous at the moment in his quest for power, with no necessary connection to his truest and deepest thoughts and desires. In a nutshell, he was practicing Islamic taqiyya, dissembling, lying. He's always lying. With Muslims like him, it's a way of life, a way to get through the day. A symbol of Islam is the crescent moon, which is a body half in sunlight, half cloaked in total darkness. What you see is not necessarily what you get. This man has to be stopped. Whatever his motivations, he has for 6 years in office done nothing to stop Iran from building atomic bombs, and one component is his belief that Iran, I believe, has a right to atomic weapons like the U.S., France, Britain, Russia, China, Pakistan, and above all, Israel. For Obama, this prohibition smacks of racism and Islamophobia. In any case, whatever he thinks and feels in the deepest recesses of his being, he is failing utterly in his stated goal of preventing Iran from having the bomb. So the one in 10 years' time. God willing, the U.S. Congress comes to its senses, girds its loins, and impeaches him, which, for those who don't know, is not the same as being removed from office. It is only the first step, which is to impeach, from the Latin for sin, to cast into question the integrity of the man in office. You impeach his honesty. You doubt his honesty. And for sure, there's a ton of material of Obama's behavior over 6 years to doubt his honesty. It's simply disheartening that Congress has put up with this man as long as they have. Hashem Elech, Hashem Alach, Hashem Imloch Leolam Vael. Hashem Elech, Hashem Alach, Hashem Imloch Leolam Vael. Adirei ayumam yadiru bekol Hashem
חיילים וחיות יבדו בכל השמים לא זוכרי זמירות יזמרו בכל השם
So, in some analysts of the doings in Lausanne and the veracity of Obama's version have persuaded me, it's another Obama flight from reality. And one only wishes Prime Minister Netanyahu was even stronger in his condemnation of Lausanne, not only the details of the talks, but the very fact they're held at all. When Iran is today's successor to Nazi Germany in its lunatic hatred of this generation's 6 million Jews in Israel, whose independence, lives, communities must be destroyed, God forbid. Last Thursday, J Post reported that in early May, Iran will host its second international Holocaust cartoon contest. There will be over 800 anti-Jew cartoons on display, all mocking the Holocaust. The exhibit is to last 12 days. Over 300 artists from all over the Muslim world will be there. This is Iran today, a nation of Holocaust deniers and mockers, and therefore a nation of lunatics, as crazy about Jews as the Germans were in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. In the West, a Holocaust denier lunatic like Dr. David Irving, the PhD historian, denies the Holocaust and is judged a lunatic, a madman. But in the East, the highest powers in the land are all Holocaust deniers. What kind of a sick society is Iran that it holds such an event for artists who mock the Holocaust? That episode in the 20th century of satanic violence and the murder of millions. This is Iran today, where soulmates of David Irving are in charge and wanting to build an atomic bomb to destroy Israel, God forbid. And no one can say that this is Jewish paranoia talking. During the negotiations in Lausanne 2 weeks ago, the Iranian chief of staff relished in public the prospect of doing just that. The chief of staff, not some academic crackpot like David Irving. And here is Obama agreeing in public that he has an historic agreement, though 10 years down the road, they will have an atomic bomb, he says. So I wish Prime Minister Netanyahu would highlight more than he does, if at all, the insane Jew hatred in Tehran and its relationship to Nazi Jew hatred. This business of sitting politely across the table from these Nazi-like Iranian Muslims is inherently an abomination. All of the P5 plus one countries, I think, have been victims, one way or another, of Iranian aggression, and for all that, they should have declared war against Iran years ago. What Bibi should do is drop the example of Munich 1938, the sellout of Czechoslovakia, and shine a different light on the Evian Conference 2 months earlier, when dozens of states discussed the tidal wave of Jewish refugees while barring a representative of the Jewish Agency in Palestine, authorized by the League of Nations. Bibi might demand a seat at that table in Lausanne as the P5 plus one discuss the fate of Israel. It's simply outrageous that the P5 plus one negotiate over atomic weapons with these Nazi-like Iranians and exclude a seat at the table for the state of Israel, the principal object of Iran's satanic nuclear fantasies. I admit it's a tall order to confront the existence today of a nation as big and as powerful as Iran, which shamelessly broadcasts its hunger to slaughter millions of Jews and deny us freedom from Muslim domination. Same day J-Post reported on this upcoming cartoon festival in Tehran, there was an international news brief on a candidate in Finland representing one of the largest parties who said Israel systematically murders Palestinian children, women, and elderly people. This 37-year-old candidate is a native of Somalia who migrated to Finland at the age of 16, and he said the systematic murder of Palestinian children, women, and the elderly happened less than a year ago. Clearly a delusional man. Had there been such Israeli evil for sure in our tiny country, the world would have known about it. This man is less thinking than hallucinating alleged Jewish behavior the Jews do not engage in. A man like this in Finland, this presumptive Muslim, is of course a news item because he's such a standout in his society for his delusion. He would not be, though, in his native Somalia, or in Iran, or Saudi Arabia, or Syria. This type of thinking, which is so odd in the West, in the East is normal. Nothing out of the ordinary for hundreds of millions of Muslims who think the Jews are agents of Satan. I wish Prime Minister Netanyahu would criticize not only the nuts and bolts of these dreadful negotiations, but illuminate just who it is we're dealing with, this generation's version of Nazi Germany, in its aggression and demented hatred of Jews. Truly a death cult for holding a mass demonstration from time to time in which thousands chant, "Death to America, death to Israel." These people revel in death. In Tehran, a major civic monument is a fountain, forever running with red water, symbolic of the bloodshed in Iran's 8-year war with Iran in the 1980s. It is a site in which young men once a year celebrate in the street with razor blades in their hands that they use to slash their own scalps to make them bleed profusely. They revel in the blood pouring down their faces. Iran is a country that must be throttled, and that can only be done with serious economic sanctions and or military might. It cannot be accomplished by talking in Lausanne. The very existence of these talks is evidence of the downfall of the West. And all because at the center of their discussion is the land of Israel, the target most threatened by a nuclear Iran. Thus the West is torn between its rational mind that sees in Iran a threat not only to Israel, but the West itself as a whole, which is why it would pay to ally with Israel, but then it is torn in the other direction by its age-old hatred of Jews. For the P5 plus one Goyim in Lausanne, the threat to Israel's existence posed by a nuclear Iran might even make some of them smile. We'll be right back. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. On the bright side of things, it was encouraging the day Obama announced his phantasmagorical historic agreement that in London, British Home Secretary Theresa May had some choice words for domestic Muslims with a chip on their shoulder. If memory serves, Theresa May was formerly head of MI5, the domestic security agency, when Scotland Yard said it was keeping an eye on over 1,000 potentially violent Muslims. May sounds as if she has a bit of Margaret Thatcher in her. She said, quote, "There is increasing evidence that a small but significant number of people living in Britain, almost all of whom are British citizens, reject our values. They utterly reject British and Western values, including democracy and the rule of law, equality between citizens, regardless of their gender, ethnicity, or religion or sexuality. They believe that it's impossible to be a good Muslim and a good British citizen, and they dismiss anybody who disagrees with them, including other Muslims, as kafirs or non-believers. Intolerance, hatred, and bigotry become normalized." Of course, her remarks sparked charges of Islamophobia. May has announced a series of proposals for combating Islamic extremism in all its forms. It's part of David Cameron's re-election campaign a month from now. May said a future Tory government would ban Islamic preachers of hate, shut down extremist mosques, and review the use of Sharia law in British courts in England and Wales. She wants measures against Islam in prisons, against honor killings, female genital mutilation, against forced marriage. Coincidentally, a week later, a 40-page report by House of Lords member Baroness Caroline Cox on Sharia courts and their abuse of Muslim women made news. She's a leading defender of women's rights in the UK. Cox also apparently has joined the resistance to Islam's ignoring of British values. This is a healthy sign of fighting back. Likewise, Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott was reported recently to begin a new national security crackdown in the wake of last December's horror in a cafe in Sydney, committed by another one of Obama's beloved Muslims. Three people murdered that day by yet another Muslim maniac. This was a month before the Charlie Hebdo horror in Paris. Austria, too, in late February, passed a new law blocking support for Islam from abroad, money that is, and declaring that Austrian law is superior to Sharia law. The Turks were particularly bothered by being prevented from funneling more money to Muslims in Austria. Most of the students in Vienna's middle and secondary schools are now Muslims, and soon the majority of elementary school children will be too. Islam is on the march, but don't expect deracinated post-Christians and their post-Jewish soulmates to pay much attention. Today, Hillary Clinton was to announce her desire and readiness to command the United States Armed Forces. And there to support her were three of Hollywood's most powerful Jews, Steven Spielberg, David Geffen, and Jeffrey Katzenberg. Some of Steven Spielberg's movies are enchanting. He's a true artist. But like too many artists, he cannot think politically. Few of them can. Like Israel's three most popular novelists, Amos Oz, Aleph Bet Yehoshua, and David Grossman. Whatever their talents as writers of stories, fiction that never happened, when it comes to the real world and thinking politically of the clash of nations, they are wildly incompetent. And in Hollywood, what are these three Jews doing supporting this miserable woman, Hillary Clinton? This is patriotism. This is narcissism.
את הכוח לעמוד בניסיון הזה, בבקשה ממך תפקח בי את העיניים, לא אוכל בלעדיך יותר. אבא יקר, תעזור לי לראות שיש בי את העומר אומץ להעז ולעשות פחדים ועוצמה יכולת פשוטה לקחת אחריות אני ואתה וכדי לעבור את הגבול הדמיוני שהמצאתי אני חייב, חייב להיות אמיתי ואם אין אצלי אמת אין אמונה וזה כואב, כואב לי אבא כך את עיניי תראה לי שהכל עוד פתוח לפניי שאני עוד בפנים ואתה עוד קיים שכל יום אוכל להתחיל מחדש וכדי לעבור את הגבול הדמיוני שהמצאתי אני חייב, חייב להיות אמיתי ואם אין אצלי אמת אין אמונה זה כואב, כואב לי, אבא יקר. אתה לימדת אותי לקרוא לך דווקא מן המצא. עכשיו אני עומד כאן בוכה לפניך, ענה לי במרחב. לא
Last but not least, the Obama administration proudly announced last Wednesday that it had opened a gender-neutral bathroom for staff in the White House. Yeah, further evidence of this plague messing up the minds of Western men these days, leading them to think gender is a feeling inside and not at all necessarily connected to one's reproductive capabilities. It is the age of the transgender whose self-diagnosis is that his mind is just fine. It's his body that's wrong and needs fixing. It is an age of madness. Okay, and that's it for this first night after the Passover break, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov. Me'eretz HaKodesh.